just a few minutes here. I'm going to start into our series, God is Greater. But let me quickly bring you up to date on something that's going on here at Destiny. You guys braved the weather this morning. You braved the rain. You're here on a holiday weekend before the big holiday this week. And a lot of people lost power. And so it wasn't easy for everybody to get here today. So I appreciate you being here. Because of that, I'm going to let you in on a sneak preview of some things coming up over the next several weeks. Besides the first service, you're the first ones to hear some of this exciting news. We got a fun summer plan. That's what we're calling it, Sunday Fun Day, right? How many believe Sunday should be a fun day? We need to teach our children how excited about going into the house of the Lord. That's what the psalmist says, is I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord together. It should be the most exciting day that we're looking forward to. Now, this summer, I know there's a lot going on, so we've tried to just schedule some things just to kind of out of the ordinary here at Destiny to kind of add a little bit of fun to it as well and to keep things going during the summertime. So coming up next Sunday is our all-church picnic. We want you there. The church is going to provide all the meat. It's going to be a great time. Chef Mike and Pastor Mike are going to be cooking up them hamburgers, grilling, and then you guys bring your sides and dessert. It's always a fun, fun time. Make sure you plan on joining us next week for that. Then on 7:15, we're going to have free snow cones immediately following each service. How many like free snow cones? How many think that's a good thing, yeah? So we're going to have the snow cone tents and outside, shaved ice. It's going to be good, okay? Free snow cones for everybody who comes. 7:22 is Rescue Sunday. We'll have the whole stage set up for our VBS kickoff following that week. That Sunday, we'll have a VBS going on during the week. It's going to be a fun, fun time. We'll have a few things talking about that. And then when the kids go back to their class, they have their lesson. I'm also going to in here, we're going to be talking about rescue and what that means to us. We're going to be having a rescue team here with us in church that morning. International rescue team who goes out, is rescuing sex traffickers, children involved and girls involved, and sex trafficking around the world, not only here in the United States, but also in different countries. Going to be sharing testimonies, how they've been able to bring them out of that, rescue them, get them to safe homes. Great testimony. Some of you didn't even know they're here, that they work out of our church, and it doesn't go on. It's a very high security thing, so we don't talk about it a lot. It's kind of a, you know, security clearance thing. Even that Sunday morning, we'll ask you, don't take any pictures and put it on social media, because a lot of things they're doing are top secret, and they're working with some of the governments there and helping out undercover things. Right now, one of the groups, they're actually in Colombia right now and actually going and have discovered a sweatshop where orphanages is there, sweatshops and prostitution is happening out of there. And so they're going to be helping the government overthrow that place and get that place exposed so we can help rescue those children. That's a good thing. I just think that's a good thing. So we're going to bring awareness to that on Rescue Sunday, some other things going on. I'm excited about Barefoot Sunday. We're going to say Barefoot Sunday. See, Pastor, are you asking us to come to church barefoot? No, I'm not. That's silly. I would not ask you to come to church barefooted. I'm asking you to leave church barefooted. That's what I'm asking you to do. What I want you to do is I want you to go into your closet, and I want you to find pairs of shoes that are in good shape, great shape still. Wear them to church that morning, and then before you leave at the altar, we're going to leave those shoes all across the front of this auditorium. We're going to give them to families, give them to children who are in need for new good pairs of shoes. Most of us have several shoes that we're not wearing anymore that still have a lot of great use out of them. There's people who could use those. And so we're going to donate those to charities in our local area who help put shoes on kids' feet, on families' feet, on people who maybe who are going for a job interview, can't afford those great shoes, new shoes. So bring those shoes with you, wear them. If you want to collect them from your friends or neighbors and bring them, don't bring some old grass stained lawnmower shoes now. Bring some good shoes, okay? Some of you may want to bring your best shoes. Some of you may want to buy some new shoes. That's fine. But bring them. We're going to donate them to charity in our local area. That's a great thing. How many think it's a great thing to be give back, right? Imagine Christians wanting to give back, right? It's like we're following the word of God. It's really amazing. And now, the last thing. I'm really stoked about this last one. 8:05. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, we're going back. Back to the future. Back to the future Sunday. 8:05. You say, what is back? How many love the movie Back to the Future? How many love that movie? One of my favorite movies of all times. It's going to be an 80s themed day. Those of you who want to follow us and dress in 80s that day, you can dress in 80s. Some of you have been dressing in the 80s since the 80s. That's all right. So you'll just fit right in. Some of you may want to do something to go on. You don't have to, but if you want to join us that day. But we're also going to be using the movie Back to the Theme as feature as our theme that morning, as well as, you're hearing it here first, we have an actual DeLorean time machine replica that's going to be here. It's been used in movie premieres from the movie. It's going to be parked out front, doors open. It's going to be really cool, okay? How many are excited about the time machine, man? Time machine is going to be here from Back to the Future. So it's going to be exciting, exciting time. I want you to invite your friends, bring them out to that day. It's going to be a great time. But most importantly, we're going to see God move big time, I'm telling you, in that service, all right? And so it's going to be a fun summer as we close it out, up to getting ready for back to school. It's a lot of fun things, but the most important thing is that when the King is here, how many know that it's a fun Sunday, right? We come together to worship the King of Kings, and it's just a lot of things we're going to do. We'll have some T-shirts actually next Sunday that say Sunday Funday, just like that logo there. If you want to get those up, hopefully we'll have those in, and it's going to be a great, just a great summer here at Destiny. And we're going to keep the momentum going. I know there's a lot of things happening with you traveling, on vacation, ball tournaments, holidays. But if you miss out, you miss out, okay? All right, let's get right into our series, God is Greater. Come on, turn to your name and say, God is Greater. Today, we love the 4th of July, right? It's coming up here in just a few days, the 4th of July. $150 million hot dogs will be consumed on the 4th of July. Over 200 million pounds of hamburgers will be cooked up. I mean, there's so much going on this day. Over half of America will participate and watch a fireworks show. But we all know that the 4th of July actually represents something besides the cookout, right? It represents our freedom as a nation, right? Our independence as a nation. In 1776, and on the 4th of July, the Declaration of Independence was signed. Remember, King George III in Great Britain was trying to have taxation without representation for us. He was going to charge us taxes to help fund his army to come over here and rule us. But yeah, we had no vote. We had no voice at the table. And so we're like, no, we ain't doing that. And so our forefathers said, we're not going to have that. And so we declared our independence. We broke free, and we said, we're going to be free. And how many know that freedom is not free? Freedom is not free, right? That over the years, since that time, that over 1.3 million Americans have given their life for the cost of freedom, defending this nation in freedom, defending other nations in freedom. We've gone around and over 1.3 million people have given their life. Yeah, freedom's great and we all love it, but it's not free. It costs people their lives. So we remember that on the 4th of July. Matter of fact, if you are a member of the armed forces, if you serve in any branch, can you quickly stand this morning? Let us thank you for your service to our country. Yeah, come on. Yeah, guys, we appreciate you very much. See, inside of all of us, at the core of our hearts, we all long to be free. It's in our DNA. We long to be free. That's what drove the pilgrims to come here. It was the quest for freedom. That's what drove Martin Luther King Jr. to come, and Dr. King as he came and drove a movement. He wanted people to be free. He wanted us to be free. Listen, what happened to Nelson Mandela as he was in prison? He came out and he led South Africa to freedom, because at the heart of our core of who we are, we all long to be free. That's who we are. But how many know freedom is not free? I want you to get this. We serve a God who wants us to be free. We serve a God who wants us to be free. Look what Jesus had to say about this in John 8:36. John 8:36, look what the Bible says here. So if the Son sets you free, you're truly free. Jesus said, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. You are truly free. I think that what he was trying to get at was this, that many people are free and they just don't know it. Many people really have a hard time. See, Jesus came to set the captives free, is what the Bible tells us. Jesus came to set the captives free. Jesus came to set us free. So today we're talking about, God is greater than my captivity. God is greater than my captivity. God is greater than my captivity. God does not want us to be held captive, but he wants us to walk in the freedom that his son Jesus did for us. So what are we free from? The Bible says that we are free from sin. We're free from the guilt of sin. We're free from our past. We're free from shame. We're free from worry. We're free from people's opinions. We're free from material things. We're free from condemnation. We're free from self-doubt. We're free from self-image problems. We're free from those things. Jesus has come to set us free, to change the way we think, to change the way we see each other, to change the way we see ourselves. Jesus came to set us free. We are no longer held captive. But who the Son has set free is free indeed. Jesus came to set us free from the power of sin and darkness in our life. See, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, no one can take away your freedom. That's the beautiful thing. Nobody can take away your freedom if you belong to Jesus. You can be free, but I want you to know this right here, that this freedom did not come free. It was paid for with a price. Just as 1.3 million Americans gave their lives defending freedom, Jesus gave his life on the cross that you and I could no longer be held captive, but that you and I could be free. Jesus gave his life on the cross as he stood in our place that you and I could experience this freedom. Not just a little free, not just a partial free, but he came to liberate the captive. He came to liberate those in bondage. He came to set you free of your past. He came to set you free of that guilt. He came to set you free of family ties. He came to set you free of things that have been holding you back. He's come to set you free. Jesus came to do this in our life. So we've got to realize this, that it wasn't free. He gave his life. But we can still be free, but still live in a mentality that you're not. It's so true, isn't it? You can be free, but still live with the mentality that you're not really free. That's the sad news today, that many of us are free, but we live in the mentality that we're not. This is one of the reasons why we see people who are in prison for a long time. They suffer with this many times. They'll get out of jail after spending decades in jail only to commit a crime to go right back there because they said, I'd rather be in prison because that's all I know than be out here free. They don't know how to live free. They'd rather go back and live in prison than to live in freedom. And sometimes we have the same mentality. We're free, but we're really not free. And so look what the Bible talks about living in freedom. And number one, write this down. God wants us to live freely. He wants us to live. He wants you to live your life in freedom. He wants you to live freely. And Paul made it very clear in Galatians 5:1. He's writing to the Galatians church. They've been caught up in all this spiritual law thing happening here. They're living in bondage. They're supposed to be living in freedom from Jesus, but instead they're producing all this kind of crazy bad fruit in their life. So Paul sits down and instructs them. He says, listen, I want you guys to get this. He says, so Christ has truly set us free. Now, make sure that you stay free. Christ has set us free. Now, make sure you stay free. And don't get tied up again in the slavery of the law. See, you got to choose to stay free. You got to choose to live your life in freedom. You got to choose to say, I'm not going to be captive to the person I used to be, but I've left that place, I've left that person, and I'm going forth in my freedom. I'm not going to be held confined now to the prison bars of my past or guilt or things that have happened in my family or things that are, no, I'm moving beyond that. Jesus has set me free. And so I've got to move past that. See, liberty can often lead us back to captivity. Liberty can often lead us back to captivity. Think about the children of Israel. In prisons, as slaves to Pharaoh. Finally, God sends Moses. Moses says, let my people go. God sends the plagues, does these miracle signs and wonders. Finally, Pharaoh says, get out of here. You're free. Go with Moses. They receive their freedom. They get out there. They celebrate. And the first time they get out in the desert, well, they don't know. They're like, man, we miss eating all that great food we had back with Pharaoh. We had like beets and garlic and all these, you know, food you would never want to think about eating, things you never heard of. But like, we eat these kinds of things. We miss that. Now all we got is this manna. I mean, think about it. God was giving them manna from heaven. All they had to do was walk outside their tent in the morning, and it's there. No hunting for it, no going to grab it and harvest it. It's right there waiting for them every day. And they start complaining, no, we had it better as a slave. Let's go back. Let's go back. Let's go back. Oftentimes, and every time an obstacle will come, let's go back. We had it better being slaves. We had it better being slaves. I mean, God's coming to set them free. God sends the liberator. God sends Moses to send them free. They get free to follow Moses to the promised land the whole time. Let's go back. Let's go back. Let's go back. They're free, but they're not free. It's kind of like the person who is trying to get out of debt. You know what I'm talking about? You know, you've been working really hard to get out of debt. You put a plan together, you and your spouse, and you start cutting your debt down, and you start paying off bills, getting credit cards paid off, getting things taken care of, all these loans taken care of, and you get down to the last one, and you get it paid off, and you high-five, you party, you celebrate. We're out of debt. Let's go out and make a big purchase. And you go out and you sign a new loan in celebration. And why? You know, you got free only to go out and get right back into debt. Doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? But sometimes liberty puts you right back in captivity if you're not careful. You've been freed, but your mindset goes right there. It's kind of like the high school student who can't wait to go to college. You know, I can't wait to get out of the house. I can't wait to get away from the house and not have rules, not have a curfew, not have this and that, and no one tell me what to do. I can't wait to move into my own place and get into the dorm and all these things that happen. And only to get there in that freedom, they begin to miss school. They begin to get in a party lifestyle and things happen. Next thing they know, they're dropping out of school because their grades have fallen. And all this freedom led them to have to move back into mom and dad's basement, get a real job, go back to college again and pay their way through college because mom and dad ain't paying for it if you're getting kicked out of school. And pretty soon they find themselves back in captivity. They find themselves even more stressed, even more rules and regulations because their freedom led back to captivity. Are you following the pattern here? We do this many times in our life, that freedom can produce captivity if we're not careful. That's why Paul was saying, listen, you've been set free. Stay there. Stay free. Don't let the fruit of freedom produce captivity in your life. Don't allow yourself to go back and be a slave when you've been set free. How many times have we been set free only to go back to the addiction, only go back to the bad behaviors, only to go back to the bad mental state we were in? See, we often go back to what's familiar. We reject what's new, and instead we'll embrace the normal. We embrace normal, familiar things to us, and reject the new. And Paul was saying, listen, if you're free, man, learn how to stay free. You've been free. See, God has called us to a new life of freedom. This is the great thing about our salvation, that Jesus has called us all to a new life in freedom. I don't have to be bound by anything other than Jesus. I have been set free. And so if I'm walking in bondage, it's only because I'm choosing to go back there. Because I've been given the power of freedom in life. Those chains of addiction, those chains of mental depression, those chains of guilt, those chains of generational curses, all can be broken because Jesus has set me free. So I've got to choose to walk in the freedom, or I can choose to go back and embrace the familiar. But Paul reminds us, we weren't set free to go back and be captive. We were set free. Let's stay there. Let's stay there. Let's learn to walk in this freedom. See, God's greater than our captivity. Look what it says here in Galatians 5:13. I love the way the Message defines it here. It says, it is absolutely clear, okay? No doubt that God has called you to a free life. Just make sure that you don't use this freedom as an excuse to do whatever you want to do and destroy your freedom. See, don't let that happen. We've all made this mistake. But listen, God loves me, right? Do you believe God loves you? Okay. God's love is not based on what I do for him. His love is based on what Jesus did for us. This is the great news about God's love. It's not based on my performance. It's based on Jesus' performance. And Jesus gave his life that you and I could be free, now reunited with the Father. And when the Father sees Jesus, he sees us. And when he sees us, he sees Jesus. And so God's love for me is not based on my performance. It's based on Jesus' performance. That's pretty good, right? That's a good thing. Let me put it to you another way. Even on your worst day, God's not going to love you any less than he does right now. And even on your best day, God's not going to love you any more than he loves you right now. Are you following me here today? So today you can't get all wrapped up in this performance-based Christianity that keeps you captive. He says you got to understand God's grace has set you free. Now stay there. Let us bring you forward. You see, when we go back to captivity, we don't lose God's love. When God sets me free, but I go back to being captive because it's what I know and familiar with, I don't lose God's love. I just lose God's blessing. And he wants to bless us with the kingdom of God. He wants to bless us beyond what we could ever dream or imagine. He wants to bless us. And so he says, no, don't go back to being captive. When you're captive, you can't walk in the blessing. But I've set you free that now you can begin to walk in the blessing of being a son and being a daughter. You can walk in the blessing of being set free. So don't go back and live your life there. Live your life free. Truly live your life free. Religious people like to add all these rules to our freedom, right? I mean, as soon as Jesus came to set us free, people continue to add rules. Don't do this, 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 and don't do this, and don't do this. You know, and some of those rules are not bad rules at all. Some of those are actually a lot of wisdom in those rules. But what happens is this, is that how many know rules doesn't set anybody free? It makes us more captive, right? That's why when Jesus was asked, hey, all these laws that are being written about serving God, what's the most important? And he just narrowed it down to two. Remember that? Just two things. Love God, love people. If you'll love God with all your heart, all your strength, all your mind, all your spirit, and learn to love your neighbor as yourself, everything else is going to fall in line. See, if I love Jesus, if I love God and I fall in love with him, I'm going to want to act in a way that represents him well. Why? Because he set me free. Because he said, I was once lost. I was once blind, but now I can see. I was once lost, but now I'm found. I was once in captive. Now I've been set free. So now I want to live for him. I want to fall in love with him. I want to represent him well. That's why I don't want to go out and live a certain lifestyle, because I want to represent Christ well. I don't want to go out and just keep doing the same thing I used to. That's a captive mentality. I've been set free from that. No longer does that have a hold in my life. So now I've been propelled through freedom. So Jesus is like, listen, just learn to love me, man. Learn to love me and learn to love others. Just don't be bound with this captivity mindset. Just learn to love Jesus. Which brings us to number two, love freely. He wants us to love freely. God wants me to love freely. He wants us to learn how to do this. This is not an easy one, is it? But he wants us to love freely. Why does he want us to love freely? Look what it says now in Galatians 5, 13 and 14. The message says it like this. Rather use your freedom to serve one another in love. This is why you've been set free, right? To serve one another in love. That's how freedom grows. You want to grow in freedom? Learn to serve each other in love. You want to grow in your freedom? Learn to serve each other in love. For everything we know about God's word is summed up in a single sentence. Love others as you love yourself. That's an act of true freedom. He wants me to be free. Why? So I can represent him well. He wants me to be free so I can love others. Listen, when you love others who don't love you, when you love others who talk bad against you, when you love others who do spiteful things against you, when you love others, all you're doing is this. You're breaking those chains. You're letting the bitterness fall off of you. You're letting resentment fall off of you. You're letting worry fall off of you. You're letting depression fall off of you. You're letting anxiety fall off of you. And you're like, I ain't carrying it. I'm just going to love you the way God wants me to love you. And that's just going to make you mad, which I actually like anyway. So I'm just doing it. The Word of God says we heap coals, hot coals on your head when we love our enemies. So I learned to love. That's a tough one, Pastor. You're right. It is tough. Well, why is it important? Because when I love people, especially ones who stretch me, the ones who irritate me, when I love those people, I grow in my freedom. And I want to grow in my freedom. I want to experience what it truly means to live in total freedom the way God wants me to. Do you want that for yourself? Do you want to live in that total freedom? Come on, give God a hand clap. We can live in freedom. We love people this way. Now, I want you to write number down, number three. You got to fight for this freedom, though, okay? You got to learn to fight for freedom. It doesn't always happen easy. It's not always a natural thing. You got to fight for your freedom. What do people do when they want something that's a name brand, that's way too expensive to spend the money for? What do people usually do instead? They'll buy a what? A knockoff, right? Come on, some of you girls are like, I hope he didn't see my purse when he walked in this morning, Pastor. You know what I'm talking about. You'll buy a knockoff purse or a knockoff watch or a knockoff sunglasses. You know, every time I go to Mexico, I like to buy, you know, I like to wear Ray-Bans, but I get the Ray-Buns down there. It's pretty cool. These will last me one summer. But, hey, you know, we get knockoffs. You know, it's a lot cheaper that way. I was reading about this, and they were saying that you realize that, you know, I heard about this statement. You can always tell if a woman's purse is a knockoff when it rains. So I was thinking about that today as we were coming in, and it's raining. If a woman's purse, you can tell it's not. If she walks in and it's raining and she puts her purse above her head to protect her hair from the rain, you know that purse is a knockoff. If she walks in like this, covering that purse up, not worrying about the rain for herself, but worried about a purse, you know her purse is probably real. Ladies, is that true? I don't know. I've heard that statement. I'm not saying you guys would ever buy a knockoff purse. But I was reading about these knockoffs, and they said that many times these knockoffs are all made in the same factories as the real thing. That what will happen is this, that the contractors will contract these factory workers and these factories to produce purses, shoes, watches, whatever. And then they will run and do this. And then what will happen when the shift's over and nobody's working, you'll have a couple of people who want to volunteer and do a little bit more cleanup or stay and finish up a little bit of work. And there's a knock at the back door and some guy comes in and they come in and they produce on the same pattern, the same machines, same material. They'll produce the knockoffs and they go out the back door. So oftentimes the knockoffs are being produced by the same factory, same workers, same machines will often produce the same results. I mean, the same thing's happening. You see, that's really true for our heart. Our heart can actually be a factory that produces two different things. One can be the real thing, and one can be a knockoff. Look what we see here in Galatians. It talks about this in 5:19. Paul says, listen, hey, your heart, when you're captive, this is what happens. See, when you're captive, you'll follow the desires of your sinful nature. He goes, results are kind of clear here. He names a bunch of stuff just to kind of give us the idea. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, adultery, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, enviousness, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I had before, anyone living this kind of life, they're not going to inherit God's kingdom. He goes, out of our heart, we can produce this when we're held captive. When we're held captive, this is the kind of fruit that comes out of our life. And then in the very next verse, he says, but our hearts are also capable of producing this. Look what it says. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against these things, there is no law, no captivity, right? So today, what he was saying is this, in the factory of our heart, we can produce either one way or the other way. One way, we're held captive to the sin, and it produces this kind of fruit, which we don't like. And then we're over here, we also, if we will give control to the Holy Spirit, our hearts also, the same heart, same factory, is also capable of producing the exact opposite. Same heart, same factory. Which one will you produce? I want to produce the fruit. Then how do we do that? He says, the Holy Spirit. See, that's the secret sauce. That's the secret sauce. That's what we got to have to walk free from captivity. We've been set free. How do I stay free? I allow myself to be consumed with the Holy Spirit. I allow my relationship with the Holy Spirit to grow, because when the Holy Spirit's there, I produce the right kind of fruit. You know, how do they stop these factories from producing knockoffs? You know, they stopped it. They figured out if we'll just run the shifts of work, we'll run them 24 hours a day. We'll have people coming in and working all hours instead of closing down the factory at night. That allows people to sneak into the factory and use them. But if we'll just keep producing the real thing 24 hours a day, it will stop the knockoffs from happening. Kind of the same thing with us, right? If we'll keep producing and allowing the Holy Spirit to produce in our life, if we'll keep allowing the Holy Spirit to consume our life, if we'll keep our mind on the things of the Holy Spirit, if I learn to listen to the Holy Spirit, I learn to talk to the Holy Spirit, I learn that, you know what, I've been set free, I want to stay there, how do I do that? But the Holy Spirit, I consume myself with the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. Look what this last verse says. Look what it says about the Holy Spirit. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. That way you won't be captive to your sinful nature. I've been set free from my sinful nature. The power's been given back to me to walk in freedom. That power is released through the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. I don't want to go back and live captive. God's bigger than my captivity. He didn't set me free for me to go back and be captive to that old lifestyle. He set me free so that I could walk in freedom with the Holy Spirit. And I begin to produce new fruit in my life. I begin to produce fruit that loves God and loves people. No longer a captive to who I used to be. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. As you bow your heads this morning, before we go any further, I just want to ask you the question that we ask almost every week here, just to make sure there's nobody here. And if there is, man, we welcome you, because many times there is people today who say, I want to make Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior. If you've never prayed that prayer and made Jesus Christ Lord of your life, say, Pastor, I need to accept Jesus. I've never done that before. And today's my day. I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I can't think of a better week heading into our Freedom Week, man, that you can begin free knowing that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. If you've never done that before, nobody's looking around but me. We won't do anything to embarrass you. But can you simply just raise your hand where I can see you so I know you're making that decision today? Raise it high where I can see it right now, if that's you. Thank you. I see that hand. Anybody else today want to raise your hand and say, I'm ready to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior? If you haven't raised it right now. Thank you. Okay. Let's do this together. We're going to pray this prayer. If you raised your hand, I want you to say it out loud with me. And as Christians sitting around you, we'll say it out loud with you as well to help you along. Say, Dear Jesus, I give all my life to you. I accept your love. I accept your grace. I accept your freedom. This day, I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. And from this day, I will follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, say, welcome to the family, God. Come on, give my hand. It's a big deal. Stand on your feet this morning. How many today said, Pastor, you're preaching. You're preaching to me today. I want to be free. Anybody here say, I want to be totally free? You're preaching to me. Yeah, lots of hands. Okay, this is what we're going to do. I'm getting you out a few minutes early today, so I invite you, those who want to join us around the front, let's step out as we close out with a song. Step out and say, God, I'm stepping out into my freedom. I want to be free. I'm not going to be held captive any longer. But today, I'm stepping out of my freedom. I'm not going to go back and allow my captivity to dominate my life. But I'm walking to my new freedom. Liberty is here. Freedom is here. Who the Son set free is what? Who the Son sets free is what? Come on, one more time. Who the Son has set free is what? Free indeed. Come on, join us as we sing it today. Come on, Pastor Joe. Are you free today? Are you free today? Yes, you are. And Paul said, stay free. Stay free. Lift your hands one more time. I want to pray for you before you leave today. Father, I thank you for the spirit of freedom. God, I thank you that in the hearts of all of us today, we long to be free. And we thank you that you sent your Son, Jesus, to set the captives free. And who the Son sets free is free indeed. Now, we hold to the truth, to the word of Paul today, which tells us and warns us, you've been set free, now live like it, stay free, know you're truly free, don't go back to the captivity. So Father, we thank you that your spirit is greater than any captivity. And I thank you, Father, that through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can leave chains of captivity. We can leave captivity behind, and we can walk in freedom today. In Jesus' name, we say yes and amen. Put your hands together one more time. Amen. Listen, I hope you guys have a great 4th of July. Turn around and give someone a big high five. If you know them, you can give them a hug. Say, it's good to see you today. God bless you. We love you guys.